care of both sides. So for this, we have to open up a Gemara in Chulin, which we looked at yesterday, but now we want to look at it with a fresh start. And that is on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Let's see where I can put this down over here. And this is the famous sugya of Nat Bar Nat, and the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So we'll begin the Shia today with a little bit of a chazara on the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So the case is on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis of Dogim Sha'olu Bekara. And if you recall from yesterday, for those who were here yesterday, we had a gigantic machlokes as to what the words Dogim Sha'olu Bekara actually mean. What exactly is the scenario? So if you're looking on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, you're in the first of the wide lines, and it says Itmar Dogim Sha'olu Bekara, Rav Omar Osu Liochlam Bekusach, Ushmuel Omar Muto Liochlam Bekusach. Rav Omar no Osur no Saint Tamhu, Ushmuel Omar Mutter no Saint Tam Bar no Saint Tamhu. One school of thought is of the opinion that we're talking about a case of Dogim Shenis Bashlu Bekara Shelbosar. And this you'll see again. If I don't want to bother anybody to, if you weren't here yesterday, but just to refresh the memories of those who were here yesterday, on page Tof Kuf Yud Zayin in the Moreshes Moshe that we did yesterday. So he says, the Airi Hocha is on the left column. Bidogim shehis bashlu bekara reikonis shel basa. So you cooked meat in a utensil, and now the utensil is empty, it's clean, everything you want, and now you cook fish in that same utensil, and everything's a ben yomo, and now the question is, can you eat this fish with milchix? Rav says no, and Shmuel says it's permissible. That's one way of interpreting Dogim Sha'olu Bekara. There are two other possibilities, which again you'll see here outlined in the Moreshes Moshe that we mentioned yesterday. And one is that although Dogim Sha'olu Bekara, according to Shmuel, can be eaten with kutach, but that's only if it's Olu Bekara, which means that there was no bishul. What he did was he had a hot utensil, and it's fleshix, and he's meniach, that's called olu, fish on the kara. However, if he would cook the fish, if he would cook the fish in a fleshik pot, according to that particular school of thought, then it would be also, even according to Shmuel, to eat that fish with kutach. Then we have a third shita, which makes Shmuel the most mekil, the most lenient, and that goes like ein koch tamasheni lesar vidogim sha'olu bekara hainu she bishlam im basar. And this he identifies as the Acherim in the Ramban. The Ramban himself disagrees with this Shita. The Ramban holds he cooked the fish in a fleshik pot, but the fleshik pot was empty. However, if there's fleshik mamoshes in the pot, then the fish itself is osur, even according to Shmuel. That's what the Ramban holds. But in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, or Acherim, he says that even if he cooks the fish with basar in the same pot simultaneously, he could take that fish, which now has a tam sheni in it, and he can.
Wait, it has a tam rishon.
He's calling it a tam sheni.
How could it be a tam sheni?
Why? Because the original tam is the basar, and now the basar is giving tam into the fish. So now when the fish gives tam into the kutach, it's already one step removed. And according to this acherim, he can do that. So this is pretty exciting.
And you're eating a tam rishon with the milchiks.
Well, no, the fish is carrying a tam sheni because it's carrying.
That's what I don't understand. That's what I don't understand.
He's carrying.
It's the tam of basar that's being received by the milchiks is a tam sheni. Why? Because the fish is the conduit to bring the original tam of basar into the chala, and a tam sheni lo nesar.
Okay, but.
But the basar was still cooked at the same time.
You gentlemen should have been here yesterday. Where were you yesterday? No, just kidding. Joking. Yeah.
We don't follow that sheet of Bechlal. I mean, but
right. You'll see. I mean, we're very early in our study.
You have the cooking the fish with the basar.
Right.
So the fish is mekabel the tam rishon, the tam from the basar. There's a tam rishon of basar.
And when the tam rishon goes into the chalav, it's called the tam sheni.
You're eating the tam rishon of basar together with milchiks.
Right. And that already becomes a tam sheni. Why a tam sheni is whenever you are a conduit to bring the original tam into a third party, if you follow what I mean.
Well,
you have A, B, and C. You have the meat, you have the fish, and you have the chalav. The fish now, once it's bolea the tam, is a conduit to bring the tam of the basar, the original tam, into the chalav. That combination is called tam sheni. A tam sheni is never
mamish basar with chalav, but here it's a tam basar.
Correct.
There's no basar.
That's called tam sheni.
No basar.
Again, the other two shitas would say the following, and then there's one shita which is a middle of the road shita. We're not going to be so mekil. We're going to allow you to cook the fish in a fleshika pot that's empty, and then take the fish and cook it with milk. And then we're going to have a third shita, which is the most machmir, and that's called olu bekara, but not nisbash lu bekara, which means that you simply placed a piece of fish in a hot fleshika pot, and that itself is awesome. Okay, that's what we discussed more or less yesterday. Again, there were other discussions as well. But that's what we have here in the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Now, what happens in the following case? Okay, and we could really talk about dishwashers, because this case that the Ramban addresses is really relevant today. Ramban describes the following scenario. There was a gigantic machvat, right, which you can imagine a kind of a frying pan, if you will. In other words, it probably has a very wide bottom and lower sides to it. That is milchiks. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a machvat chalavit. Now he has his fleishik meal, and he wants to clean his pots. Right, he wants to clean his fleishik pots, and he uses a machvat chalavit, which is called a kli rishon. Why? Because he's got a fire to heat up the water, because you want to clean your dishes in hot water. And the fleishik pots are now being cleaned in a machvat chalavit. And the Rabbi wants to analyze this case from the perspective of our sugya of Shmuel, of Nat Bar Nat. And he wants to say the following. That he originally cooked, let's say, fleishiks in this pot, so the meat gives tam into the pot. Now, the machvat chalavit also has a tam that was given from the milk into the pot. Yeah. And now, when the two get together, the tam basar through these kalim that are fleishiks, and the tam chalav in the water that's being used to clean the fleishik dishes in the machvat chalavit, yeah, you have now a situation of no sing tam bar no sing tam. Perhaps, again, the Ramban, we'll see the Ramban in Saw. So let's take a look in the photocopy that I gave you. You have that?
Yeah.
It's page Resh Mem Vav. Yeah. So the first paragraph, he quotes the Sugyan Chulin that we went through, and then he quotes the Ramban. Yesh lahatir Karos, Shemish Tamshim Bohem Basar, Shehudchu, hudchu means they were cleaned. B'machvat shel chalav b'kli rishon. Now again, you know, it could be that when he says kli rishon, maybe he turned off the fire, but it's still a kli rishon. I don't know. Let's just assume,
it's
if you don't mind.
It's not kli rishon al ha'esh.
Yeah, let's just assume it's al ha'esh, just to make it. Because again, I don't want to get into, you know, there's a whole deal about, you know, when the fire goes off and it's yad. So I don't want to get into that right now. Let's assume that the Rabban is talking about a case where there's this fire going on underneath this. Again, there's no actual milk in the machvat. There's water in the machvat. V'afagav d'shneim b'nei yoma. Now watch what happens here. The karos were used for fleshiks this morning, and so was the machvat shel chola. So everything is ben yoma. So you shouldn't get sidetracked here with no saying tam lifga. Okay? Says the Ramban, no problem. No problem. And as I said before, this might have implications as to whether or not you could use a dishwasher for both milchiks and fleshiks. I mean, not at the same time, but b'zecher zeh. So what's his logic? What's the Ramban's analysis? Sherei tam bosar b'mayim shebemachvas. The bosar now is giving tam into... I'm sorry. The kli basar is going to give tam into this machvas, and that's like the tam of basar that's giving tam in the dogim. Because again, we're focused now on the mayim. You follow what I'm saying? The mayim is now the recipient of two different tamim. One is the tam basar from the fleshik kelim, and one is the tam cholav from the machvat chalavit. Right. But he's saying that when you look at that mayim, it's a case of not bar not. Why? Because the mayim is equal to the dogim. The tam basar is going into the mayim, just like the tam basar went into the dogim. Now, we want to use this fish, right, this dogim with milchiks, and Shmuel says it's permissible. So now, if let's say I'm considering the machvat chalavid as milchiks, well, guess what? I have now the tam of bus in the mayim that's going into the milchiks. That's no problem according to Shmuel because it's not barnat. Ulam atosvis cholkim. The sovrim shall also ladiach karos shall basar b'machvat shall cholav b'kli rishon. Afalgav the ain sham nunis bien al akaros, right? So he sponged off any sort of bien of basar. It's still awesome. Sharei haka. Now there's a resha and a sefer here, so we're going to first start with the resha of Tosfos. Why is this awesome? The Tosfos say shak. Karos nogos b'machvas, that the fleshig and kelim have a contact point together with the machvas. Right, you sit down the keli inside this larger machvas. So when it sinks to the bottom, there's a point of contact. V'nifla tam mizel lezeh,
not into the mortar.
Yeah, that there's a tam that's transferred from one kli to the other kli. Forget about the mayim that's receiving these two tams.
He's talking about no goats. No goat. It has nothing to do with the water.
Correct. In Tosis's first explanation, he's completely circumventing the water. Forget about the water. Right. Since the kli itself is a fleshik kli is sitting in hot water on top of the milk of the kli, then the tamim are going to go from one to the other. He calls it niflat mi tam mizel lezeh. And now Tosis says that that's called tam sheni, meaning when does Shmuel allow this, and you can eat the fish that was cooked in a fleshik pot with milchiks? That's because the fish serves as a conduit here, such that now the fish picks up a tam and then passes the tam over to the kutach, and that's already a tam shlishi. But in the case where there's some direct contact between the fleshiks and the milchiks, albeit in this case through the kalim that are nogos zubazu, that already is tam sheni. You can't call it tam shlishi. Again, let's just go over this one more time. In the case of the fish is going to pick up the tam, and now the fish is going to serve to take that tam basa and pass it on to the kutach, correct? By the time it gets to the kutach is receiving a tam shlishi. Why? Because the original tam of the basar was not giving any sort of tam into the cholah, but rather was giving tam into the kedera bisarit. Now he takes the kedera bisarit, and the tam that's bolua in the dofne akli is going into the fish. That's already a tam sheni. When he takes the tam of the fish and he adds the fish into the kutach is now already receiving a tam shlishi. It's one after the other after the other. But in this case, the tam of the basar and the tam of the chalav are both considered tam sheni. Why? Because through the negia, that tam of the chalav goes into the basar back and forth without the mayim as a medium. And if we cut out the mayim as a medium, then we're left with tam sheni and there's no tam shlishi. It's not like the case of dogim. But then Tosus offers another explanation as to why this is prohibited. Why is it that you cannot wash fleshig dishes in a hot pot of water in a milchika pot? For od, the lo dami klal lidogim, it's not similar to Shmuel's case. Why? Because in this particular case, the tam sheni of basar and chalav enter into the mayim simultaneously miyat. Is nesru ha-mayim v'chozim v'osim ha-karos v'ha-machvas. When you have two tamim, one basar and one chalav, that are going into a third object, in this case the mayim, but simultaneously, do you follow? It's not a case where he cooks the fish in a fleshika pot and then he cooks it in a milchika pot. So both the tam of the chalav and tam of the basar are going together into the fish. But rather, he has one situation where he cooks the fish in a fleshika pot, and now the fish is being cooked in a milchika pot, and now he is already creating a new tam that's going into the kutach. Masha'enkein here, according to Tosa's logic, immediately these two tamim of basar from the fleshika pots and chalav from the milcha kvats are both entering into the chalav. The chalav is receiving these two tamim simultaneously.
That's
not what you're talking about. The pot. I'm sorry, I meant to say the mayim. Did I mess up? No. Sorry.
But the tam from each going into the mayim is a tam sheni.
So if the mayim receives two tam shenis simultaneously, Tosus says that's awesome. It's only when you have stage number one where you get the tam sheni and then you pass on the tam sheni to a shlishi, that's called dogim shalom v'kara. Right. But if both tamim of fleshiks and milchiks are simultaneously entering into the mayim, even though it's a tam sheni, then it's awesome.
And the difference between a conduit, which is water, it has no substance, as opposed to fish, which has substance.
I don't know, for some reason that doesn't play a role. You know, Tosus offers two interpretations as to why this is awesome. The Ramban is matir. The Ramban sees it as no Saint Tom by no Saint Tom. And Tosus says, well, it's not the same. Why? Either because the two kalim are no-go zubazu, that was Tosus' first answer, or the second answer is because both Tamim of basar and chalav are entering into that object, right? That foodstuff, which in this case is mayim, simultaneously miyad. So that's what we have: the Ramban and two explanations of Tosfos. Now, Rav Soloveitchik has a ran, and he wants to do a comparative study between this ran and Tosfos. The Ran likewise is going to prohibit this kind of a dishwashing situation, but the question is why? And is he accepting Tosus' first answer, first explanation, or Tosus' second, or maybe some sort of a third answer? So the Ran says two things. One thing is which you'll see on the second line of page Reish Mem Zayin, Shetam HaBosar V'Tam HaCholav Misarvim Shelo Be'emtzos HaMayim. What does that sound like to you, Rabbi Osa? Exactly, the first answer, Tosus, right? Because what was the purpose of the first answer, Tosus? He was cutting out the Mayim, exactly. He wanted to say, forget about the Mayim. You know, the Mayim would be like the Dogim, and then the Ramban would be correct, but we can cut out the Mayim, and we could have an immediate and direct transfer of Tam without the Mayim. Shalom Bem Tzos HaMayim. And therefore, if you have Shalom Bem Tzos HaMayim, then we're stuck with the Tam Sheni, right? In the case of the fish, since the fish is going to be the carrier of a Tam Sheni into the Cholov, then we have a Tam Shlishi. But here, if we go directly from the Fleshiks to the Milchiks, then all you're left with is a Tam Sheni. Klomar, Shamayim Einam Nechshovim Kem Tzai, She'ein Atam Nivla B'mayim, Elishu Misarev Lekan Ulekan B'toch HaMayim. Wow. Rav Soloveitchik has a different twist on this Ran. This is not the way we understood the Ran. And he says the following, that in the case of the dishwasher, it's not that the Tam is Bolua in the Mayim, but rather Mayim is only a means to be Misarev to Tam. Do you follow? Mm-hmm. In other words, in the case of Shmuel, of Nat Barnat, the Dogim are Bolea, the Tam of Basar. And now after that Bolea takes place, we're going to have a transfer of that Tam of Basar over to the Kutach through the intermediary of the Dogim. He says that's not the case in Mayim. We're not saying that in Mayim what's happening is the Mayim is Bolea, the Tam of Cholov and the Tam of Basar. But rather we're going to have in the Mayim a Taroves of Basar and Cholov. That already sounds like which answer of Tosfos? The second answer of Tosfos, right? What was the second answer of Tosfos? That it's not a two-stage process in which the Dogim now become the intermediary, but rather the Tam of the Basar and the Tam of the Cholov are mixing together simultaneously. And that's what the Ran means when he says that we can cut out the Mayim. He doesn't mean that we're cutting out the Mayim in the sense that the two Kalim are touching one another, but rather we're cutting out the Mayim in the sense that the Mayim is no longer a carrier, but rather the Mayim is now a recipient. Instead of seeing it as a carrier, right, like the case of the Dogim, where the Dogim are carrying the Tam Basar over to the Kuta, instead we're going to see what? We're going to see the Mayim as a Makom Tarobet, so to speak. It's just a hechatimtza to get the Tam of the Basar and the Tam Cholov mixed together at the same time.
But what would be wrong with that? It's a Tam Sheni and a Gatam Sheni. We've said before that Tam Sheni is Kalush, so you have two Tamim that are Klushim. So we're saying that the Ran holds, like Tosfos, that a Tam Kalush and a Tam Kalush together, Misarev together, is no good.
Right, because we're saying that we need a Tam Kolish going into a third recipient. In other words, this is the sheet in the Rishonim that a Tam Sheni is also, we can only be Matu Tam Shlishi. We'll see later on that we're going to go, you know, but again, just to go slowly, and you know, you'll have to bear with me on this, what the Rav wants to suggest is that the Ran is not necessarily referring to the Svara of Shtei Kederos HaNogos HuBazu. You don't have to interpret the Ran in that light. Although again, the Ran says that the Tam Basar Tam Cholov Misarvim Shalobem Tzos HaMayim, and we thought that the Ran means that the two Kalim are transferring one to the other, you know, there's a happy partnership between the two Kalim, and forget about the Mayim. He says no. What the Ran means is that the Mayim is not a carrier that has received the Tam by being Bolea, and now it's passing on the Tam to a third party. That would be classic Nat Bar Nat, where you receive a Tam, that's the fish, and then you pass the Tam on to another recipient, and by that time, it's a Tam Shlishi.
Right.
What the Ran is saying is that the Mayim is not serving as a conduit to receive and then pass on, like the fish is Bolea and then it is Pole, but rather that there is a a twofold contribution into a tarobes. And what we have here in the Mayim is a tarobes of basar and chalav. Mm-hmm. Now again, Rabosai, at this point I would say hold everything. How much meat is there in the clay basar? How much chalav is there in the clay chalav? You know, it's, let's say I woke up in the morning and I had a tipas chalav that I cooked in this machvas. Well, in such a case, maybe we could apply the laws of bittul. You follow what I'm saying? Because the thrust of what the Ran is saying is that the reason why we can't play games over here in this dishwashing situation is because you're going to end up with the tarobas of basar mechalav in the mayim itself. Well, maybe one or the other is batel, but let's assume that we have to worry about the fact that there is no bittul.
So are we saying that
he has a footnote here which I didn't understand, if you want to take a look at the footnote, number 122, but yeah.
Are we saying that the water there in this case is a place in which this is happening as opposed to an active participant in transferring one to the other?
Right, right.
Water's not a keli.
Right, he's saying that the tam is not nivla b'mayim, like in the case of the dogim, right, but rather the two tamim that are being misarev together. And they are both, these Caleb and these Caleb are both being polate their tam into the Mayim. So the Mayim is now receiving both a tam of Basar and a tam of Chol. Umemela. Adain Choshev Kitam Rishon Besoch HaMayim. Why? Because if the again, I would have called it a tam sheni, I understand. But let's see what he says here. He says, Shabasar no saying tam rishon becholov, vacholov no saying tam rishon bebasar. Oh, I know what he's saying. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. What I mean to say is the following. Once there's a taroves of what?
Basar
b'chalav in the Mayim. Now each one of these two kalim is now being bolea the time of basar b'chalav.
As a tam rishon.
Okay, this is all the Ran's first explanation. Now we have the Ran's second explanation. Delo sharina nat bar nat el k'sha'omad tam sheni beheter belo taroves. Aval kan lo omad tam sheni b'fnei atzmo el tekef shebo li olam miyad nisarev b'tamo shel cholov u'memela hu osur. Now again, you really have to split hairs, so to speak. There's some very subtle difference that we have to figure out between the Ran's first shot and the Ran's second shot. The Ran's second shot sounds awfully similar to what we saw in Tosfos, that there was never a point in which you could say that one of the two Tamim stopped, and then it was transferred over to the next Tam, and that becomes the Tam Shlishi. In this case, since the Tam of both Basar v'Cholav are created or generated simultaneously, therefore, it's not considered not bar not. That means that we identify the second explanation of the Ran with the second explanation of Tosfos. How is the first explanation of the Ran different than Tosfos? The answer is that here, in the Ran's first explanation, the Mayim becomes Basar v'Cholav. Why? The Mayim becomes the Taroves of both Tam Basar and Tam Cholav. That's not true for the Ran's second explanation. The Ran's second explanation is he's telling you why this is never considered a Tam Sheni. Because a Tam Sheni would only be if at some point everything stops and you're left with one Tam, call it Hetero, right? One Tam of Hetero. That is true and applicable in the case of the Dugim. Why? Because at one point in time he has the Dugim with a Tam of Basar. And that's not a problem. Correct? So now, in the second stage, the tam of that basar is now being transferred over to the chalav. That's already a tam shlishi. But in the case of the mayim, what he's saying is that since there's never a moment of time in which the tam is what word does he use? Omad, right? Omad atam. You don't have some. So again, in the Ran's second explanation, the Mayim is Bolea. But the Mayim is not Bolea in order to transfer that tam. The mayim is bolea both tamim simultaneously. Again, he's not entering into the issue of whether the mayim is now basa b'chala, right? And therefore, when each one of these kalim is bolea the tam, the mayim itself, that's going to generate the isa. No, he's explaining in the Ran section. He's explaining why there's no not barnat over here, because not barnat requires that at some point in time you can stop, you know, freeze a frame, and at that moment in time you have a nesinas tam, or shall we say a kabbalas tam of heter, and now that foodstuff that was makabal that tam is now going to serve as a
conduit.
As a subsequent conduit to bring that tam and transmit it to the second food. But in our case of the mayim, that's not what's happening. The mayim was never bolea the tam basa stop, and now passing on that tam basa to the chalav. But on the contrary, what happened was that both tamim met at the same time. If both tamim meet at the same time, you can't use the logic or the mechanism of not bar not. So now the Rav wants to identify the second explanation of the Ran with the second explanation of Tosfos. In other words, everything depends upon whether there's a bazech or zeh, and there's an omad atam at one point, or it's bevasachas. And Tosfos uses the language daha kishatam asheni shel basam shel chalav nichlas. Again, we're talking about the dishwasher situation. Kishatam sheni shel basam shel chalav nichlas b'mayim miyat. So the emphasis is on miyat. There's no two stage process. It's simultaneous. V'taima de milsa the sphere leila Tosfos v'aran the not barnat edo muter elin kein b'shoshe nivla tama basar. Whatever the food is, in our case of fish, it was the fish. Bechaticha shnia, lo haya omed. Just one second. There are too many negatives here.
Read it again.
One second.
Where are you?
Eino mutter. Just give me a second here. Eino mutter el kain. This is a lo. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's start. Oh, I left out the word let's start. Sorry. I apologize. I left out a very key word here. He says the following. The heter of not bar not could never apply when the first tam, which was nivla in the chaticha, is now immediately going to be passed on to the second chaticha. That's not bar not. In such a case, what we would formulate it in the following way, that the tam that went into the in this case the mayim, is omed litzarif. Let me say it again. The tam of basar that is now niflat into the cholav is omed litztarif im tam acholav. Mashen kein hocha she niflatu tam abasar v'tam acholav ba'ari adodi v'toch hamayim. What is unique about no saint tam bar no saint tam, right? We set up two different nesinas tams, is that when we get to the first no saint tam, right now, it's not omed litztarif with the second no saint tam. You can decide what you want to do with this fish. You can eat it with a fleishik meal. You can eat it with a parva meal. You can eat it with a milchik meal. But we don't see any sort of a etztarfus in the fish with a tam of chala. Masha Enkin, in the case of the mayim, since he's washing both the fleishik dishes and the milchik machvas at the same time, these two tamim are now omdim litztarif zelazeh. How do we paskin? So you guessed it. It's machlok between the Machab and the Rambam. The Machab is going to paskin like the Ramban, that if you take karol shel basar and you want to clean them off in a yorech leves, instead of machvas he has the word yorech, hakol mutar. Mishum davi no same tam bar no same tam de tera. Which means the following. That the tam of the basar that goes out of the clay basar is a tam of heter, right? There's nothing also about that tam basar. Now that tam basar is going to mix with the tam cholov that comes out of the machlas shel cholov, the yorah cholevens. And that's
also shel heter.
That's right. So the two are shel heter, and now when you mix these two tam and shel heter, that's called napar nat. The Ramban, the other hand, quotes Tosfos and the Ran that everything is osur, which means you're going to have to take all the kelim to the Beis HaHechsher. You know, you're going to have to be magil, you're fleshing your kelim, and you're milching your kelim. It's going to be a real headache. The Hosif Sham HaRamah, She'im Hudchu Klei Basar U'Klei Cholov Bazeh Achar Zeh. Oh, now he has a slightly different verse. What he does is, he's got, just one second, what does he have? Oh, he says he's got a parva yora, and he now washes both fleshiga dishes and then simultaneously milchiga dishes in the same yora.
No, not simultaneously. No, zecher.
I meant to say zecher. Did I not say zecher?
Simultaneously.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say zecher. So again, what does he have now? He has a parva pot, and then he's going to take milchiga kelim and wash them in this parva pot.
Remove.
Then he's going to take fleshiga kelim and wash them in the parva pot. Hakol shari. In this case, everything is mutter. Now let's just think about this. In this case, what's going to happen is that we don't have that miyad element. Do you follow? What's going to happen is that the blia now is not omed litztarif. Right? You have, let's say we start with the fleshiga kelim, since we mentioned that a few times. So that tam of basa that goes now into the mayim is not omed litztarif im tam cholov. Later on, he decides that he wants to wash his milking dishes in the same pot. Okay, but that's not bar nat. V'im ira mikli rishon shel basar al kli cholov dino kikli rishon mioser im hoye ben yomo. Now what he does is, the Ramah says that ira kli rishon is considered bishul. Right? It's considered like kli rishon mamish. So now he pours from a fleshika kli rishon onto milchika kelim. So again, now we have the miyad element here. So once again, we're problematic. In the case of a parva pot that's being used for as a dishwasher, if you find me, we used to call it a shisel when I was a kid, right? So I don't know if you heard that word. Anyway, so if the shisel is a parva shisel, and first he cleans his fleshika kelim, and then subsequently gives that, then you have eino omid litztarif. It's not miyad. It's like the dogim case. That's not omid litztarif, and that's called daparna. But if he now takes a kli rishon of basar and he pours the water onto the kli cholov in order to clean the kli cholov, that's a problem. Why? Because then the two tamim are mixing simultaneously. And if you assume that iri kli rishon has the status of kli rishon,
and then b'nei yomo.
Again, right, it's a ben yomo. Everything that we've discussed is ben yomo. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about Eda Ben Yoma. Is then it's not Barnat. You know, I was thinking to myself, you know, this could be very common. You know, people when they do Heksher Kalim, forget about, you know, washing dishes, they very often do what's called Iri Kli Rishon. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have cups and plates that are never used as Kli Bishon. And all you need to be machshir them is kli rishon. So let's say you had a fleshika cup or plate, and now you want to be machshir it through iri kli rishon, and you're using a milchika keli.
To boil the water.
So you boil the water in a milchika keli, and you pour the water directly onto a fleshika keli, and you think you're doing a great job of iri kli rishon.
That's why they tell you not to do it. That they shouldn't be b'nei yomo. That's why you have to wait 24 hours.
Okay, that's good. But, you know, leaving out the Eda ben yomo element here, the Ramah would say in such a case, it's not a not bar not situation. You know, you think, well, okay, so there's fleshika water over here, but the fleshika water is heter, and that heter is now being put into, you know, again, it has fleshiks in it, but it's heter that's being put into a milchik and keli. I mean, the Gemara says that not pernas mutter even in milchik, so certainly in a milchik and keli it should be mutter. But the answer is that we don't have that bazech hazeh effect of eido omid litztaret, that the yisoda yisodas of Shmuel's not pernas is that when the tam bosa goes into the fish, that's, you know, stop. What was the word they used to call in telegrams? You know, stop. You have now a tam of basar in the dugim, and now we can say that tam, when it's passed on to the cholov in a secondary stage, a subsequent stage, that's called not by not. But if the tam basar, the tam cholov are overlapping at the same exact time, which means that he's taking fleshika pots. Again, keep in mind Ben Yomo, but let's not confuse ourselves for a minute. And he's cleaning them in a milchika machvas, right? So now what happens is that it's not pshat that the water grabs onto the fleshiks and then passes it on to the cholah, but rather both Kalim, the fleshiks and the milchiks, are now simultaneously being polite that tam into the mayan. Mm-hmm. And that's called omed litztarif, because it's being litztarif simultaneously. So, and even extends this to the case of an irikli rishon.
Practically speaking, move over to Dorn Shoal in the car. I have a piece of fish that I cooked in a fleshik pot ben yomo.
Right.
So it has a tam sheni of basa.
Right.
And I put that on a hot milchig plate, right. Ben Yomo as well.
Correct.
Okay.
So that should
so
be
that's miyad. Now that would be according to the Ran and according to the Ramah.
Ah, wait a minute. You mean, one second. Didn't you first cook the fish and then put it into it?
I cooked the fish.
Oh, so it's not miyad.
It's hot.
Right.
And it's a Tom Shaney Ben right. Yomo. I put that on a hot plate.
A milk plate.
So that would be awesome.
No, I don't think so, Rabbi. Let me put up my dukes over here, and you'll put up your dukes, so let's find it out.
Because the ta'amim again, of not by not go together.
No, what happened, if I understood you correctly, let me just go over the scenario. He cooks fish in a fleshika pot. Oh, so once he cooks fish in a fleshika pot, it's not omid litztarif. Do you follow my point? You make a decision where you're going to put that fish. If I understood the scenario, maybe you have a different.
It's the same thing as the Tom Shaney going into the water.
No, what happens in the Tom Shaney going into the water is that both the milchiks and the fleshiks are going into the water simultaneously.
So if let's say
I would wash my kalim bazech hazeh, correct? I would let's say I have a parvashisel that we spoke about before, and first I want to clean my fleshka kalim, and then use the same hot water with the same fire underneath it in the same shisel for my milchik kalim. That's okay. Let's read that again. I just want to make sure I'm not misleading anybody.
Because you're not... Yes, I understand that. Because you're not doing it at the same time.
Oh, says but the Ramah, in hutchu kli basar, u kli chol bazech arzeh, then I call shari.
Yeah.
So I think that would be your case. Why? Because at the point at which I cook the fish in a fleshika pot, at that point, I have. You're right, it's not omid litztarif. You know, then
but
you
it's omid litztarif when I put it on the milchika plate.
Right, but it wasn't omid litztarif at the moment of blia. That's the key moment, is the moment of blia.
Now is the blia. The blia takes
place. No, I'm saying the blia of the basar I'm talking about. Omid litztarif means that at the moment of the blia's basar, that blia is omid litztarif im cholam.
No, but that's not the case.
If he washes them both in the same, right?
The I original. Have a clean fleshik plot.
Right.
That you've gotten all the shamnunas, everything.
Correct.
So the bosser went into the pot.
Right.
Now the pot went. Now the boss, Tom Shaney, went into the water.
Right. But the water is in a milchik pot.
So that at the same time.
Oh.
Okay. The milchik that went into the pot. And the milk that comes out of the pot to two Tom Shaney's meet at the same time.
Oh. So if the two Tom Shaney's meet at the That's same awesome. Time, he calls it omid litztarif.
I'm saying the same thing happens.
Let me just explain what I mean by omid l'tzarif. It means that there was never a moment of time in which there was a b'liyah of basar without a b'liyah of chol. From the very inception of that b'liyah of basar, there was a b'liyah of chol. That's called omid l'tzarif. And that undermines and neutralizes.
Say that again.
What I'm saying is that, let's say it this way: in order to set up not bar not, I need to be able to say that at the moment of blia of basar, it was not omid l'tzarif with cholov. If I put the two pots together, right, the milch kapat on the bottom and the flesh kapat on top, then the moment of the blia of basar in the mayim, it was omid l'tzarif. Why? Because it's in a pot which is giving off a plata of cholov. But if on the other hand I can set it up as a bozech or zen, it's not miyad, which means I can say stop, as I called it in telegrams, right? That at one moment I have a blia of basar, and then subsequently I decide to add a blia of cholov to that same blia of basar, that's called not bar not. So that's why I say in your case where the fish was cooked, and then he decides to put the fish, after it's cooked into a milchika pot, That's not bar not. That's mutter. Why? Because it wasn't omid l'tzarif.
Even according to the Ramah?
I'm going according to the Ramah. The Mechaber rejects this whole thesis.
Yeah, he's
like the Ramban. Yeah. The Mechaber holds that im hutchu ka'aro shel basa b'yorachol levas hakol mutter davi nosin tam bar nosin tam de tera. Yeah, the Ramban and the Mechaber Kavase is are totally oblivious to this distinction about miyad and bazeh chazeh. As long as the two tamim are each heter and they're all a result of the original boss of the original cholov, then it's not bar not and it's mutter. The chiddush of Tosfos here in his second interpretation, forget about the Caleb being nogim zebazeh, and the Ramah. And perhaps the Ran in his second explanation is this whole distinction between miyad and bezeh hazeh. The Rav is going to try to make a little bit more sense out of it on a conceptual level. What difference does it make if it's miyad or bezeh hazeh? That's the balance of this essay. So let's see what we can fit in the next 3 minutes. He says the following. Yeah. Do you have the paragraph that starts vehine?
Yeah.
Ze poshut de ledea harishona betosvis shakaros, the karos mean the fleshiks and the yoru, which is the machvas of the milchis, asurim mipnei shehein nogim zebaze ein tam lesar and ira mikli basar lekli cholav. You remember the Ramah said that pouring from a fleshika kli directly into a milchika kli is a serious problem, right? Because that's the miyad philosophy. But that has no bearing on Tosus's first interpretation, because Tosus' interpretation says that the problem of this dishwasher is because of the negia. And here there's no contact. It's purely irikli risha. I thought this was a brilliant chav. I was a little bit disappointed when he says "Ukvar heirol kachash atar." See, I thought this was the Rav. Yeah. The Rav probably came to it on his own, but 400 years before the Rav was the Taz, and the Taz points out that this whole chumrah of the Ramah about Kli Rishon is only relevant within the framework of Tosfos' second interpretation. V'nira dehu adin nami. Thank you. Al pi bira rishon shehevi haran shahakaros vehayora asurim mipnei shetam basa v'tam cholov disarvin v'loem tzos mayim diim kena mai hiter amah im hutchu hakelim ze bazacher ze. And he's saying the following. Let's go back to the first explanation of the Ran. The Ran said that the problem with this dishwasher is because the tam of basar and the tam of cholov are misarvim inside the water. So what difference does it make if it was bezeh or zeh? The Ramah says that I can take a parvashisel, and I could wash my fleshing and kelim and then wash my milk and kelim in the same water. According to the Ran, that's not so. Because according to the Ran, the Mayim now is going to have a taromis of both parts of a cholam. Okay, we'll stop now. Rabosei, is there any way I can ask you to take your jackets out before the shiur? Is that possible? Thanks so much. Okay, great.